the direct snap. And pitches to Allen. Got traffic. And the ball's knocked out. It's a fumble. It's a live ball picked up by Kyle Hamilton of Baltimore. So Buffalo went to the tricks.
That was the trick play from Sunday night, and that was the worst call on the field. But one of the worst calls you could make is to skip your recommended cancer screenings. To learn more about potential life-saving cancer screenings, recommendations, and guidelines, visit roswellpark.org/screening. That play call, Josh, I will tell you real quick on this.
I can't stop thinking about it. I really...
That's fair.
It's Wednesday, and it's still just... Again, like I said, I was in the other room and I walked in and I said, why is Curtis Samuel under center? What is happening? And then boom, all of a sudden it all just falls apart.
It all just went to hell.
Yeah.
I will tell you though, as somebody, so I work the Bills games. I'm, you know, in the chair when the games are going on and I'm listening to the radio broadcast. I don't get to visualize it as often. But I have that like about 15 to 20 second delay.
Yeah.
And I hear it's a fumble. And I'm like, oh, all right, damn. All right. Like let's get everything ready. Okay. All right. But I always do like to then, of course, see the play.
Right.
And I watch it. I'm like, this is so much worse than I was thinking of. Like everything is awful.
Because if you're listening to the radio, it probably just sounded like, oh, yep, there's a fumble. Oh, well.
It's a fumble. It kind of sounded chaotic. I did not hear the part that Curtis Samuel's under center. So to me, it just sounded like, oh, no, what happened? This is not great. And then I watch it. And I'm like, everything is so much worse. This is terrible. Oh, what a game. What a game.
It you know what? As long as that play doesn't ever happen again, I'm fine. I'm fine.
We didn't get to say it a lot yesterday, but on trick plays, the ones I like is, again, Detroit ran effectively this Philly special.
Yeah.
I like when a team kind of doesn't really know something's happening. It does feel like the Bills, the last few trick plays they've called, everyone's pointing at the screen going, what's happening?
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Hey, guys, look, DeMar Hamlin's out on the punt. What's going to happen?
Yeah, it's that, or, hey, Josh Allen's a wide receiver. I wonder what he's going to do.
Right.
I wonder what's going to happen there. It just, I don't love how they look all the time. I know a lot of fans do love trick plays. I oftentimes can't stand them. I am somebody that, like, if a team calls a trick play, I'm like, you got them. Because the team has to pull that out of their hat.
Oh, right, right.
I'm like, you've got him.
No,
this game's over. And that's always how I felt.
It depends on the scenario, because I remember specifically a fake punt that Dable pulled off in 2020, maybe? I think it was Isaiah McKenzie that got
2019 and 2020 felt like that was when Dable was in his bag.
Right.
Like the Devin Singletary, like touchdown throws.
But I think it was McKenzie that did this one. And I just remember watching it going, yeah. Like it was the feeling of, oh, you got them, but in the other way, in the sense of like, ha, the Bills have this game in hand, no problem. The other team, I don't remember who they were playing, but it's the other team doesn't know what to do, and we're just playing with them at this point because we should have punted this here, and we just got a free play out of it and a free first down.
That is totally fair. It's just for me, it's always how I've been. Like even especially when I'm like watching college football, which I think everyone knows I'm a massive college football fan.
Mm-hmm.
I see anyone pull out a trick play, and I'm like, ugh. What are we doing here, guys? Let's be a serious program here. Like,
no,
what are we doing? And it's not fair. It's like, I know it's a contradiction.
If you could successfully pull off a trick play, you are a serious program.
The only trick play I allow, and I don't even think it counts, is a flea flicker.
No, it doesn't.
Flea
count.
Flickers are the best.
That does not count, though.
They are the best.
But it is. It is the best. But they don't count. Because you know how many,
I'm not going to fight you on that one, I kind of agree.
When they first came about, yes, it was a trick play because it was new and it was fun and it was what's happening. How do I defend this? Now it's just like, oh, look, they're doing this play that we've seen a million times. Let's go out and shut it down real fast or fail.
Or fail.
It still does happen.
Man, we need more flea flickers in football. I think that's where I'm going to end this part of the conversation is
not
I need to
for,
see more.
Not for the Bills.
No. Well,
no.
I wouldn't totally say that. No. I would not totally say that. I think there should be mandatory.
No.
Across the NFL,
Stop.
At least one team needs to try to pull it off every week.
No.
I don't care when it is, Thursday, Sunday, I don't care. At least one of you guys has to do it. So be prepared Monday Night Football if no one's done it. One of you two is doing it.
It's going to happen every week. It would be Monday Night Football has to do it. Because no one else wants to do it.
Everyone push it off and go, nah, they'll do it.
Someone will do it. The Bears will take care of it.
Oh, could you imagine then, like, the halftime talk with the coaches? Be like, hey, no team's pulled off the flea flicker yet. When is it coming, guys? Like, it has to happen.
And now the coin toss no longer becomes for kickoff. It becomes who has to do the flea flicker.
Who has to do the flea flicker at some point. That is easily my favorite play of football. It's so stupid. Every time it gets pulled off, though, like, I immediately, like, have an audible cheer. Even before it happens, I'll see, like, the running back stop and pitch it back, and I'm like, oh, here we go!
Is this how you feel about the triple option?
No, I hate the triple option.
Okay, well, that doesn't make any sense.
Watching, like, 2010 Georgia Tech was a fever dream. Them and, like, Navy now.
That I was going to say, because, like, you see this in, like, every Army-Navy game. It's just triple option after triple option. But, like,
I hate that game most years. I love the pageantry, and then the game starts, and I'm like, this is disgusting.
But being a fan of the flea flicker, like, wouldn't you like the idea of
option? No, I like deep passes.
That's fair. It's not... But...
I love watching a defense absolutely lose its mind because everything has gone wrong and the offense just scores an easy touchdown. It's a lot of fun for me. With that being said, though, real quick point on this, because I do want to get to calls here. The Army-Navy game this year...
could actually mean something.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
And here's the thing, Josh. This may not happen, but it potentially could. Army-Navy for the American Conference Championship, Army-Navy game the next week. Very much in play.
Oh.
Very much in play. They're not independents. They're in the American Conference.
I didn't even think about that.
That is very much in play.
So they could play back-to-back, and then...
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And that could be a spot for the college football playoff.
Final spot in the playoff.
Yeah.
Please let this
happen. Right? I'm all in. Let's get connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We go to Brian here on the line. Brian, how are we doing today?
Hey, guys. So on this Devontae Adams trade, I don't understand Bills fans' mentality. Like, why do we have to run this idea of everyone eats into the ground? Like, we have to wait till January in the playoffs and watch Allen struggle throwing passes on the sidelines before we go, I guess we did need more weapons. And the names that are being thrown out here is, like, potential levers for the Bills to pull. Like, Dalton Kincaid. Sorry, we're 20 games in. He looks like a possession tight end. Just say the truth. Like, this whole idea that he's going to suddenly get down the field like Gronk was in his prime, it hasn't happened yet. You haven't seen one pass like that in his career. He's made some nice catches, some reliable hands, but he's a possession tight end. Curtis Samuel, I'm listening to Brady talk yesterday. Yep, I'm going to get him involved. I got to get him involved. To me, he looks like the next Isaiah McKenzie, Deontay Hardy, Nyheim Hines. I mean, we talk about all we see so far is he lines up in the backfield, he runs some orbit motion, and he catches a bubble screen. I don't know where in his past has he ever demonstrated that, yep, that guy is going to be – he's going to give you top-level production or even like moderate production. 1 year of 800 yards. So that's not really an answer. I mean, do I really have to wait for Mac Hollins to be a Gabe Davis replacement and, you know, somewhere like, okay, look, late career explosion from a 31-year-old who's a journeyman at best. And then you have, okay, well, what about Keon Coleman? Yeah, what about him? Everything is a contested catch right now. It's not to write off his whole career, but you're going to bank on that come playoff time? What mindset are we? Do we have a growth mindset here? Because what mindset allows you to go, yep, there's a super talented receiver on the market, and, you know, Josh Allen's in year 7 now, but nah, we don't want him. He's a little too old for us. He's not quite in his prime, even though reception perceptions numbers say that he's still in the 90th percentile, separating from zone and man. But he's too good for us. I mean, we've done too much winning, so we don't need that here in Buffalo. I just don't need to try and convince myself that these guys can become anything more than what they've shown. I mean, you're doing the same thing with the Sabres. You're just banking on this growth that you've never really seen, banking on yourselves. I mean, I guess we can wait all the way to the end and then realize, oh, that's why Jamar Chase gets paid. And, oh, I guess that's why Nico Collins is a tear. But not for us in Buffalo. We're going to wait for Dalton Kincaid to become Travis Kelce. I just think it's a stupid idea. I think Allen is forced to do a lot of things by himself in these big games. Not everyone, obviously, the low games, yep, he can win and you can just spread it around. But in big games, I think the Ravens gave you a picture of a playoff future. That's what it looks like. Allen scrambling for his life, running for his life, looking for someone to throw to. And I don't know why you have to try and live that way, because we have a Rudy Rudiger obsession in this town to always try and win with underdogs in seventh round and undrafted picks. At some point, man, Allen's going to be frustrated trying to play with this. is the only superstar. You shut down James Cook, the Bills stop because there's nowhere else to go with the ball.
Yeah, Brian, thanks for the call. I think you're right on a lot of those points. The Kincaid one is concerning because they have tried to go and get premium assets at wide receiver or really skill position players. James Cook, you brought up there right at the end. He's had a very good year, at least to start to the year. Didn't really do much against Baltimore. They really abandoned the run quite early. Coleman, I was never really a huge fan of the pick. I've liked so far what I've seen, but yeah, you can argue a lot of it has just been contested catch, not really getting a ton of separation. The drop as well against the Ravens was really rough because that was a perfect throw. It was eerily reminiscent to the Diggs drop in the playoffs against Kansas City. Curtis Samuel, it almost feels like now, and I say this kind of jokingly, but it also is incredibly frustrating. There is a player every season we go into the year thinking, man, he's going to be kind of like this, like, witch gadget guy that's just, you know, never going to know what they're going to do with him. And it's ultimately not much, whether it be Nyheim Hines or Isaiah McKenzie or now Curtis Samuel. It does kind of feel like that is just a thing that they do every year where they get excited and it falls apart. The one for me, though, that is concerning and where I thought this could work, and I still think it can, is Khalil Shakir, which he has shown out to be very, very good. I'm very happy with what I've seen from him. I think the Bills are thrilled, by the way, as well, has been Kincaid. I think that was a lot of the anticipation for this year was they'll have the elite talents. They'll have potentially two of them, an elite slot receiver in Khalil Shakir and a top five tight end in Dalton Kincaid. To Brian's point, I think you're kind of seeing, though, after 20 games, he's a possession tight end. You know, we ran through his stats yesterday, 13 catches, 132 yards, and a touchdown through four games. I get they haven't had to use him a lot in two of the games. You could even argue three because Baltimore gets away from you really early. But you know, Shakir has had zero problems being one of the top wide receivers in EPA. Keon Coleman led the Bills in receiving yards and receptions in week one, and then in Sunday had himself also a nice game. We've yet to see Dalton Kincaid really have that game. And I think even as possession tight end, you're kind of starting to wonder too, like, all right, but that's how most of the team runs. Why isn't he getting open faster? He was the first round pick. He was the guy that they were talking about as a receiving tight end. Look at him more as a receiver. Now, on the Davante Adams thing, for me, though, I do get thrown off by the 32 years old. I don't like that. I don't want the Bills to keep going to older, used talents. I want them to draft their own. That's where my frustration has been of them constantly waiting, not even doing a little trade-up to go get somebody. And that's where also the frustration with Dalton Kincaid comes in because that seemingly was going to be the guy. And it really has never even gotten close to materializing up to this point.
I think the point, though, is if you go and get a Davante Adams or this offseason, you go sign a free agent wide receiver that might be on a little bit of the older side, you can get these rental players for like the next 2 or 3 years as long as you keep drafting in the early rounds for offensive talent. If you just kind of, you know, give yourself a little bit of a buffer with these veteran receivers over the next 2-3 years, while building up this young group, not this young group, but just whoever it may be, that I think is the main goal because you're not going to get that production out of a young wide receiver right away. So you're going to have to kind of supplement that with an older guy like a Davante Adams, like an Amari Cooper.
I think you can, though. And that's my frustration is we're seeing every year a rookie receiver or two or three immediately come in and are producing.
Right, but that's a one or two or three. If you're the Bills and you draft, let's say, in the second round or the third round this year, you draft Troy Franklin, right? And obviously he hasn't done much of anything at all.
I was going to say, that almost already seems like a miss for Denver.
But at the same time, Denver's figuring out its own problems. If you put him in a system like Buffalo where it's already ready to go, you have the quarterback, you have the offense, everything like that, that's a guy you can kind of sit there and let cook for a little bit and get a veteran receiver to supplement yourself until he's ready. And now, like I said, that's in the third or fourth round, so you would want someone in the first or second. But even looking at this year, Brian Thomas Jr. has looked great so far, but is he good enough to say, yeah, we don't need that veteran guy, we just have this guy here, let's plug him in and we're ready to go.
And go for it. It does kind of seem like you're always, unless you are the Bengals with Chase or Nico Collins with the Texans, or you know, there's a few other guys as well, you're always going to be kind of wanting more. I want to see if this fails or not. because I do think this is the way the league is going, and we've got, and we do have to see it out. By the way, Adams won't even be traded by until the deadline anyways. It's not coming up, you know, tomorrow, what have you. 803-0550 is the number to call. I've got to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll wrap up today's show. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.